Oregon's Public Employee Retirement System, or PERS, is now the largest shareholder in the NSO Group, an Israeli spyware company. NSO's software Pegasus has been used by oppressive regimes to hack the phones of 50,000 journalists and foreign officials, including associates of murdered Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi and French President Emmanuel Macron. PERS invested $250 million in the group via the Oregon State Treasury. Now the pension fund is quietly and discreetly working to liquidate its investment so it can be passed on to other investors. Richard Silverstein is an independent journalist based in Seattle. He's written for Al Jazeera, Jacobin Magazine, and The Nation, and since 2003, he's written Tikkun Olam, a progressive Jewish blog. Thanks for joining me today, Richard.
Thank you. Great to be with you, Ethan.
Why is this investment in NSO problematic for PERS?
The Israeli spyware company NSO Group is one of the largest and most lucrative spyware makers in the world, and it was recently exposed in a major media expose by 16 media companies that collaborated, showing that its technology was used by intelligence agencies, police agencies, and repressive regimes in 50 countries. And that they had a list of 50,000 telephone, cell phone numbers that they were trying to target. And NSO's technology has been used in the murder of the journalist Jamal Khashoggi. It was also played a role in the murder of a journalist in Mexico. And it's been known for several years about the damaging role that NSO plays. And aside from the technology, NSO is a tremendously lucrative business. The value of the company when it was last sold was $1 billion, which made it a unicorn in terms of venture capital. It was sold to a private investment company in the UK called Novalpina. Novalpina had basically two companies that it owned, one of whom the most largest was NSO Group. So the Treasury invested $225 million or $250 million from PERS, from the retirees, from the public employee pension fund in Novalpina. After that investment happened, Novalpina had three partners that made this decision. One of them introduced a lawsuit against the Guardian newspaper. And as a result of the lawsuit, there was a huge breakup between the three partners. And they basically were at war with each other legally and couldn't really control the commercial entity, make any decisions. And that's why the Treasury basically, as an outside investor, had a last recourse to take over the company. And that's what the state Treasury did in this case. And they have basically tried to hire the Berkeley Resource Group, which is based in California, which is basically a liquidator. So Berkeley Resource Group is basically going to liquidate NSO Group to the highest bidder. And the Treasury hopes to get some of its money back. I have been trying to get the Treasury to answer a few questions that I have. One is, how was the decision made to invest in Novalpina? Why was the decision made? The other question was, does the state treasury, when it invests, have any legal, any ethical guidelines, any diversity guidelines, any human rights guidelines that govern their investments? The only principles that I find are maximizing the value of the investment and their financial principles that they have. So I'm shocked, basically, at the reputation that Oregon has as a state being fairly liberal, democratic, that they don't have in place principles that many other retirement systems have when they do their investments. And it's shocking to me that no one in the Treasury, when this investment was made, asked themselves, should we be investing in malware? And the... You know, it's not, NSO has not been hiding under a rock. I mean, the scores of articles revealing the extreme damage that this company has done to human rights activists, to journalists, to the parents of 43 disappeared and murdered students in Mexico, and told also the types of people that are using this technology. Leaders of repressive regimes in Azerbaijan and Mexico and India, and using them against their political enemies. And NSO Group, I should say, claims that the purpose of their technology is to capture drug gangs and to detect terrorists, but hardly any of the customers use it in that way. So basically what they're doing is selling to dictators who see enemies everywhere inside their own country, and they're using it to infect the phones of these dissidents and allow them to be either arrested or tortured or murdered in certain cases. So I'm really more than shocked that the Treasury has made such a cavalier investment. And I'm also shocked that the only article on this situation in Oregon that came out was the AP correspondent in Salem wrote a short piece about this, and that's it. Nobody else until KABU has shown interest, thankfully to you, in this. And this is a major investment in the state's treasury. And I think that the decision makers should be held accountable for what they did. They should explain what they did and why they did it.
So just to make sure that I'm understanding you perfectly clearly, it sounds like the Oregon Public Employees Retirement System is now the largest stakeholder in a company that's been violating human rights for repressive regimes all around the world.
That's right. They were what's called an outside investor, so they weren't managing NSO. They basically put their money in, and they let Novopina and NSO executives themselves sort of run the show and run the investment. But when the courts decided that Novopina was no longer a functioning entity, that's when an element of the contract that was signed gave PERS the ability to come in, swoop in, and take control of the investment. And that's what's happened now.
So leaving aside even the fact that this was obviously a very unethical investment from the get-go, and it's surprising that nobody in the straight treasury caught that and decided to bring it up, how is this even a legal investment? I mean, it sounds like NSO has been breaking a lot of what's just commonly understood as international law.
It's a wild west out there. There's no United Nations treaty that governs how spyware should be used or shouldn't be used. And very few countries, if any, have any regulation on how spyware, how surveillance technology should be used against their citizens. There absolutely needs to be regulation of spyware. And Edward Snowden is someone who's proposed a radical solution. He has suggested there should be no market for spyware at all. It should be illegal, period. There are other people who go not quite as far and say that the technology should be regulated and only legitimate uses should be permitted and illegitimate should not. The problem is that different countries have different definitions of what would be legitimate. In a democracy, it would not be permitted to go after citizens engaged in legitimate protest. But in a country like Azerbaijan or India or any other Hungary, these are autocratic leaders who use their secret police and intelligence agencies to harass and persecute people who oppose these regimes. And so they would define these people you and I would call legitimate as criminals. So I think it's difficult to parse this, but it's really important that there not be just NGOs like Citizen Lab and Amnesty being the ones to oppose and to point out the excesses of NSO. This needs to be done on a very defined way. And I might add that your Senator Wyden, Ron Wyden, in a Senate hearing proposed exactly that, that the United States regulate spyware, that they impose penalties on companies that abuse the spyware, and that they impose penalties on investors who benefit from buying companies like NSO, if NSO were to violate U.S. law. And six individual members of Congress have sent out a message called Enough is Enough. Two members from California and one from New Jersey, Democratic, liberal Democrats, who have proposed the same thing. So we now have just the beginnings of a legislative push to make this issue, to bring it into a higher visibility on the legislative agenda. So that needs to be reinforced.
I want to talk a little more about Pegasus as a product. So there was recently a 16 media outlet expose on Pegasus itself, this principal product of the NSO group. What exactly does Pegasus allow these governments to do? And what has it allowed governments to do?
Pegasus is the most powerful spyware ever, ever devised on the commercial market. Pegasus is the most lucrative product in this market niche as well. What it does is it infects cell phones, and it can take control of your cell phone, and it can monitor everything that anyone does on a cell phone. That would include your text messages. It can intercept email messages, voice messages, audio, video, your browsing history, every web page that you visit. Your life on your cell phone becomes an open book to the client states and the intelligence agencies that use this software. One person described this as having someone inside your brain. That's how invasive, and that's how scary this is, really, and how much they can know about us. They can know our private thoughts, and they can often, even if they don't have the exact information they want, they can infer a lot of things from what we do. They can infer from physically where we go every day, what we do every day, who we visit every day, who we send emails to. And they can know not only what we're doing and thinking, but they know what the person that you communicate with is doing the thinking. So if you send an email to your best friend or a human rights collaborator or your lawyer, they know what the lawyer is doing as well as they knowing what you do. So it's a product that really sends its tentacles out far from the victim and the cell phone that the victim has. It just spreads these tentacles very, very far across society.
Returning to PERS, the Oregon State Pension Fund has $250 million invested in the NSO group, which they're now working to liquidate. Once that happens, I mean, what's the next step? Is there going to be accountability? Is there going to be some kind of sanctioning of the NSO group? Like, what do you think is going to happen moving forward?
Theoretically, once they liquidate their investment with this company, Berkeley Research Group, that they're hiring to sell the company, NSO to another investor, they could go ahead and they could invest in an NSO competitor, another spyware company, or any other company that they thought that would get a major return on their investment, no matter what the ethical considerations. And I'm troubled by a public employee retirement fund with hundreds of billions of dollars in investments that has no consideration for ethics in their deliberations. I understand why you want to make a profit, and that's totally legitimate. Retirees, of course, need to have their future guaranteed by the money that's been invested on their behalf. But I think those retirees would also want to know that the profits that are going to be given to them when they retire are not dirty money, are not dark money, are not money based on human suffering and the murder of journalists. I mean, that's a pretty pretty nasty way to guarantee your future retirement on the backs of, you know, on the dead bodies of journalists. Also, there's no restriction on who might buy this company. So it could be another state retiree pension fund or another investor like Noble Pina could come along and say, there's a lot of money to be made here from NSO. So we have to hold accountable the people that enable these companies to exist financially. NSO could not exist unless it was making a huge amount of money. And without companies like Noble Pina or PERS or the Treasurer putting their money into NSO, it couldn't have 50 clients around the world. It couldn't hack the cell phones of 50,000 people. So the money, the people with the money also need to be held accountable.
Thanks so much for joining me today, Richard. And thanks so much for talking about NSO Group and everything that's been going on there.
Thanks a lot, Ethan. Appreciate being with you.
That was independent journalist Richard Silverstein on Oregon's Public Employee Retirement System's $250 million investment and partial ownership of the NSO Group, an Israeli spyware company implicated in the murder and intimidation of journalists. Neither the pension fund nor the Oregon State Treasury were available for comment. From KBOO News, I'm Ethan Sandweiss.